Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mountain Pass Podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room, my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. This is April 20th, 2022, and this is the... I have not titled this episode yet. We will figure it out as we go along, because I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to talk about. I'm in the mood, I got the momentum, I got my cup of coffee in my stone mug that I got at the Antietam battlefield, which for those who are historically inclined was the bloodiest single day in American history, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. I guess the first thing we'll talk about is I'm going to be revamping some of the, I guess the title of the podcast. It's going to be, because I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, I need to show like there is a difference in what I'm going to be talking about and the scope, and it's going to be enough of a change that I want to do something. So I'm probably going to edit the graphic art a little bit, like the new, you know, kind of like the Batman animated series, and they did the new Batman Adventures or something like that, or, you know, it was Batman Beyond, or, you know, you had Justice League, then you had Justice League Unlimited and all that other kind of stuff. For those of you who grew up on good quality animated shows. So I'll do something like that. I'm also going to do a new intro because I want to kind of... I felt like that was appropriate for the mindset I was in then. But now we're in a different footing. It's happening. So first thing we're going to talk about is this whole thing with the libs of TikTok doxing stuff. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go Google it. Go look it up online. I'm going to assume that my listeners, my dear listeners, are astute enough to do their own homework. And I'm going to just get to kind of my observations on all this kind of stuff that I was observing, because everybody is looking and reacting to what's immediately happening, as opposed to me, who's looking back and saying, okay, what are some life lessons that we can extrapolate that is useful for us? Obtaining information that matters to us. And the main one is, you know, it reminds me of that scene from the film Untouchables, where Sean Connery is sitting down with Kevin Costner in the huge cathedral. Which was, by the way, cinematography was amazing. They did the perfect angle for that one. And he's sitting there and saying, you know, you wanted to know how to get Capone. How far are you willing to go? Like, how badly do you really want to get him? And what he's doing is he's explaining to Kevin Costner's character, like, you can't just do some little tiny thing and then think he's not going to hit back. They're going to go in all the way. And you need to be prepared about that. And so if you're going to get involved, this is not in any way, shape, or form a criticism of libs of TikTok or anything like that. This is just a life lesson for everybody here. And it doesn't necessarily even apply directly to what's going on or what happened to her, because, you know, they found out who she was. They showed up to a bunch of relatives' houses. They doxed her. They showed her information online and all that kind of stuff. I'm saying that if you are going to get involved in indulge in the same type of stuff as the libs of TikTok account owner did, there are some things that you might want to consider. There are some things that you'll want to think about. One of them is, are you going to be anonymous or not? Because if you're going to be anonymous, just know that's a sword of Damocles that will always be hanging over you if you're successful. So, for example, with me, doxing me doesn't mean a whole lot because I'm out there. It's not like, can you believe this person said this? It's like, yeah, he's been saying it for years. I'm pretty amazed at the stuff I get. I think the fact that I'm not anonymous, I've been able to get away with a lot of stuff. That the stuff I say online, sometimes I'm like, oh, this is, you know, I'll just say it kind of like, you know, in a little bit of a fit of fury, I'll say something pretty harsh to a Spurg. And a couple times I went to bed and I woke up, I'm like, I'm probably banned. I probably got suspended or something like that. I've never been suspended. I've never had my account like locked or anything like that. So it's pretty amazing. But I think part of it is I'm not anonymous. I am who I say I am. And people can't like act like, oh, this person said it. It's like, yeah, he's very open about the fact that he said it. So it's not like being anonymous implies that you have something to hide that makes you vulnerable if it were to be revealed. So that's just the thing about being anonymous. If you're anonymous online, your anonymity is a shield, but it is also, it's a, in some ways, a double-edged sword because it can be used against you as well. But just know also that's going to go cause people to be potentially more aggressive with you if you're ever doxxed, if it's ever discovered who you really are, because they're going to be thinking, okay, how far do we have to go in order to figure out what they're trying to hide? Because that's the implication, is that if you're anonymous, you have something to hide. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that this is how the mindset, you have to understand this is how they think. If people were to go after me, they're going to just think, well, he's very open about what he's doing, so he probably doesn't have a whole lot to hide. We're really not going to dig that far. You know, he has a bunch of stuff on his website that's, you know, it's just, it doesn't feed the outrage. It doesn't fuel that intense, the intense emotions that these people experience. I mean, the first thing you need to do is you need to get a VPN. That's a, you need to get some sort of private internet access. You can do a variety of them. You need to use the Brave browser, which is what I use. Which has a feature also, if you want to use it, you can go, it allows you to use Tor, which is some sort of VPN. Like, there are different options that you can use. You know, I use private internet access, so I have it on my phone, I have it on my laptop. The other one is, you need to start from the assumption that your identity is one day going to be revealed. Okay, where are you vulnerable? Where can you be hit? You know, one of them is, okay, you need to set up security for everything you do online. And what I mean by that is you need to have a two-step authentication for all your accounts. So a lot of my stuff, I don't have to worry about someone hacking into my email. It's impossible. Because there's a two-step verification process that they would not be able to bypass. It's the same with my Facebook account, my Twitter account. Pretty much everything I do online requires two-step authentication, partly because I use a VPN, and it does make things complicated. Here's the thing, guys. If I know my passwords and I'm me and I have trouble getting into my accounts or it's a complicated process, most people are not going to be able to do that. There's just too much. And the other thing that you need to do is you need to set up have all your digital stuff. Do not have it on cloud. Have it on a hard drive, an external hard drive. So all my critical files are on two separate external hard drives. One of them is in a safe location. That's like permanent long-term storage stuff. The other one, where I'm constantly updating it, that's carried in a little pouch and I take it with me where I go. Sometimes I, you know, store it safely because I don't want it to get taken. And then I have several portable thumb drives, and one of them is the size of my thumb fingernail. It's literally a fingernail drive, not a thumb drive. Thumb drives were back when they were the size of thumbs. It's 20 gigabytes in this little tiny thing. So I can store tons of stuff that's critical for my work and for what I do. And it is on something that can't be hacked. You can't hack an external hard drive. You know, and you want to constantly be downloading or exporting stuff that's critical, stuff that you need. And honestly, you almost want to have a backup laptop or computer that is not connected to the internet. So it can't, you know, it didn't have the internet disabled, but it has all your files. So if anything happened, you can immediately switch over to another, you have a contingency plan. And then you also need to have a password manager. I use KeePass. I would recommend you use it. It allows you to create very complicated passwords that are incredibly difficult to crack. And then you can set, like, you can basically set your own, make your own passwords, but it saves them all. So you only have to remember one password. Now, people would say, what if you lose them all? The problem is you're not going to be able to keep track of every single password. And also, you don't want to use the same password for everything that you do, because once they hack into one thing, they can get into another thing. And this isn't to say that it's impossible, but the point is, this is about deterrence. This is about protecting your stuff. Because immediately, if you're exposed, they're going to start swarming every account. They find out who you are, they're going to go after your email account. They're going to go after everything. You can also have personal information. Here's the thing. Google your name. go to every site that's like a one of those directories that has information about you and request that they take your information off because I think that they either do it as out of a courtesy or they do it because they're legally required to do so upon request. I don't know, but I just know that they do it. Another thing you need to do, you need to have all your credit cards and debit cards set to where anytime they're ever used in any form, like we're talking anything, anytime there's a transaction involving any of your cards, you're alerted to it. Because that's another thing people could do is they could go after your credit cards. They could commit credit card fraud. They could just make your life really miserable. And then the other one, this is actually a very interesting topic that nobody else seems to think of but me, because I'm just that guy. This is why you're listening to this podcast. You're getting the insight and perspective that you will not find on any other podcast, at least that I'm aware of, but I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, so that may be part of the problem. Perhaps I should get out more. Anyways, let's say, okay, so you want to do an anonymous thing, you want to do all this stuff, and you've been doxxed. So in this case, with the libs of TikTok lady, the reporter not only was doxing her, she was going over to her relatives' houses and approaching them. And here's the really interesting thing about that. Was she on private property when she was doing that? When she went up to the houses, like, did they live in apartments? Did they live like, were they on private property or was it a public space? Because here's the thing. Like, what is your residence? Do you have a house? Do you have an apartment? If you have an apartment, that's going to be easier to deal with because it's not. If you own a home, it's easier to look up the registry. They just have to put in your full name and, kind of figure out where you live. Like, somebody will know how to dig that stuff up. But if you live in an apartment, that's going to be harder because that's private information. Like, your lease is not public, but when you do buy property, it is public. But here's the really interesting thing about that. Let's say you own a home. Is the entrance to your home, the front, is the house on a section of the property that is next to, close to, or near a public space like a sidewalk? Is there a huge lawn in front of it where they have to walk down a really long walkway to approach your front door? Because here's the thing you need to realize with Antifa. Their strategy is being able to remain on public space while being able to strike at a moment's notice and hit private property. And they can claim they can't be attacked until they engage in some sort of trespassing and say, hey, we're on public space, right? Or these reporters who show up to private property. Let's say instead you lived on a property where there was a gate and you had to be able to open the gate in order to enter. Or if you're entering the property, you're trespassing, and you can go to them well before they reach your house and say, you need to get off my property. And at that moment, they have no legal right to be on your property. You've told them to leave. They're not wanted. They need to leave. Because if that's the case with these people, I said it on Twitter, they need to file no contact orders and what is it? A restraining order. Basically, like, just say they came onto my private property for the purpose of harassing me. I don't want them here ever again. So yeah, you need to, be preemptive and anticipatory, if that's even a word, and anticipate. Just have all that stuff ready. If people show up at your property, you tell them to leave, and you document all that stuff. And you have to, by doing this prep work in advance and kind of war gaming this stuff out, you will act and not react because most people are not prepared for this stuff. They react to what someone's doing, and by reacting, you're being controlled. And then the other thing you got to think about is, if you ever found out, are they going to be able to find out where you work? Are they going to harass your employee or employers? If you're a manager, is your workplace one where it's going to be a problem? If you're surrounded by people who disagree with your views and it's revealed and it's your docs, that could cause problems at your work as well. And you need to be prepared to say, okay, what company policy have I violated? Like, you got to be prepared for all this stuff, guys. If you walk in, they're like, yeah, you've said some problematic stuff online. And you could say, what company policy have I violated? Let's go through the HR department. And you need to be prepared to say, what company policy have I violated? Because if I haven't violated anything, this would be wrongful termination. And if they attempt to discuss with you stuff that you say online, you say, you know what? This is not related to work. And if they continue pressing you about it, you say, do I need to speak with an attorney about this? Like, do we need to get this legally clarified? Because if it happens, I will. Like, don't act surprised when people go after you. They say, well, I think this person shouldn't be working here. And you say, if this conversation continues, I will be consulting an attorney. The moment you do that, trust me, most people will shut up. And if people are sending you harassment emails at work, you document, you download all that stuff onto a thumb drive. You document all, you forward all those emails to your own personal email account. You do all that stuff, you save it all so that it can be used against them. And if they have HR sit down with you in private and want to talk to you about it, you say, this conversation needs to be recorded. Because they can say whatever they want in private that could be potentially grounds for a lawsuit, and then just deny the conversation ever took place. And then the other thing, so if it got really bad, let's say you needed to skedaddle, you just needed to, you know, lay low for a while, right? For like from The Godfather, got to go to the mattresses. Have a buddy or somebody that you know, you can go to their house and you can kind of just lay low for a while. Because another part of it is they swarm and they want to harass you. Well, here's the thing, guys. If you just turn off your phone and you stop responding to messages and all that kind of stuff, or you just, you know, you post but you don't watch what's going on online. You just don't react to any of that stuff. You just say, yeah, I'm going to just let this cool over and just play some video games. Or just hang out and read a book or something like that. But what you do want to do is you want to get this pouch. Actually, I have it at my desk right now. It's a little pouch. It's called a silent pocket. You can get it on Amazon. What you do is you put your phone in the silent pocket. It blocks out GPS signals and tracking, so no one can use your phone to track you. So you can take your phone with you, but no one's going to be able to hack into your phone, including your phone provider, and be able to know where you are. Again, that's just a precaution. Like, I have that here. I hardly ever use it. It's just too much of an inconvenience. I have it like I have many things in my life. They're there for when I need them, and I don't always need them. And I may never need them. Like, you have to start with the worst case scenario and then anticipate everything. And if you have this stuff all planned in advance, and you're calm and you're collecting, you're like, yeah, no, and all this other stuff, you know, people will eventually realize that you're not controllable and they'll just move on. They will not stick around and harass somebody for very long. And, you know, like if you're at a workplace and people are like, you know, telling you stuff in private, or let's say a coworker makes a comment, just say, do we need to take this to our supervisor and have this resolved? And then if they say no, I don't understand. You're like, if you say this again, I'm going to contact our supervisor and deal with this. And if the supervisor isn't willing to resolve it, then we're going to get the HR involved. And if HR is not going to resolve it, then I'm going to need to consult an attorney. Right? Most people will shut up. The moment you start citing legal, this is the problem with people on our side. We don't, we try to be nice. We try and be agreeable. We try to play by these rules that presume you're dealing with a civilized human being. You're not. You're dealing with barbarians. You have to treat them. The only thing they understand is force and coercion. And that's another thing you got to think about is where you're living. Like, are you living in a rural area where it's not really anywhere near there's any kind of like major transit or transportation? Because if there isn't, if that's the case, if you live in a rural, it's going to be really hard for one. Mobs are not going to show up at your house. It's too much trouble. They operate strictly within urban areas. In urban areas that they are accustomed to and the population is used to seeing them, they're not going to show up in a rural area because they're going to get shot. Another thing that you can also start doing if the mob comes out and the doxing occurs, document everything that the media is doing, because then, and other people will do it for you because they'll just be on your site, but just, and tell people that. Just say, hey, document everything that you see, because if any of it is libel, if any of it is defamation of character, you have it, you save it in the Wayback Machine, you then download it yourself. You save everything, and then you build up that information, and then you consult an attorney and say, do we have a case to pursue defamation of character or libel? And if you suffer any kind of damage to your home property, if you're attacked, you got to say, okay, was this article intended to provoke violence? Because here's my thought. I don't think libel and defamation of character and all these other things, I don't know if they've necessarily kept up enough with social media. Because what happens when there's a lawsuit after an article is written about someone who hasn't broken the law, hasn't done anything wrong, but the article is very much, the way it's written is a call for violence, and then someone is injured, and it's not some public official, it's some private figure. It's some ordinary person who has no pl who is not in a public office of any kind. Because this is what a lot of people don't understand about defamation of character and libel law and slander. They are infinitely more protective of private citizens, and when I say private, I'm not just talking not in public sector. Like, they're not a celebrity, they're not a Hollywood actor or actress, they're not someone who has access to media or has a presence where they can defend themselves. You can't say things. You can say anything you want about Joe Biden. You can say anything you want about Donald Trump, but you can't say a lot. There's a lot of things, an incredible amount of things that you cannot say about a private citizen, about John and Jane Doe. You say that, and they have a case against you. And when I and I, not just say you put it in a newspaper article, you put it in a letter to the editor, you put it in a blog post that's public. You say anything on social media about someone private, that's defamation of character or libelous, they can sue you. So these are all things that you just, if you're going to indulge in this thing, that's the kind of the key part, is like, you got to plan this stuff in advance. Not saying at all that this is the case with libs of TikTok. I'm saying that a lot of people get involved in this stuff and they don't plan. They don't think 2 steps ahead. It's like going on an expedition to Mount Everest and not bringing enough supplies. What, you thought it was all going to be at the base camp? You didn't think that there would be contingencies or emergencies or things would just go perfectly according to plan? Which brings up a really interesting concept, discussion I've been seeing online about the importance of anonymity. And I wanted to tweet about it, but I just felt like Twitter's not, the platform you're on really determines whether it's a good discussion to have. That is not a good place because I'm limited in what I can say, and I'd have to do a thread and people might only see part of it and then spurg out and say something in reaction to one, not the whole thread. My thought is that online anonymity is important, but sometimes it's not good. There's some people who need to be anonymous because they just, the account's not about them. It's about promoting ideas and they don't want it to be about them. Now that's fine. What becomes problematic, no, I hate using the word problematic. When it becomes an issue is when they are making it about them, but they're anonymous. Because we've seen this where people are anonymous and then they talk about themselves and then you discover that they're not who they say they are. They portray themselves as somebody that they want you to think they are. And so you never really know. Like, is this person real? There's a whole concept of bona fides, like proving that you are who you say you are. That's one of the things that I have that a lot of anonymous accounts don't have. I have social, what's the right word for it? Online social credit, whatever the word is called. Like, I guess my online bona fides, like people know who I am. I use my real name. I talk about my life. I don't pretend to be somebody that I'm not. I'm not claiming to have a house. I don't claim to have turned my house into a harem. I don't sit here and talk about stuff that didn't happen, that just to make people feel, to p portray an image of myself that, and part of it is not just morality, it's exhausting because you have to keep lying about stuff. You can't just be like, okay, today I'm not going to lie. Today I'm not going to pretend to be this person or not. You got to keep up the performance forever. It's interesting because it reminds me of a comment that Howard Hawks said, I believe it was. He was a film director. He did the film To Have and Have Not, and that's when Humphrey Bogart met Lauren Bacall. She was 19. He was like, I think 45, 43. And of course, they had their affair. They fell, like hooked up on the set. And Howard Hawks was actually in love with Lauren Bacall, even though he was in his own affair with another woman, with another actress, and he didn't, he kind of wanted to split them apart. Well, of course, Lauren Bacall ended up marrying Humphrey Bogart, and it was interesting. While Lauren Bacall always looked back, even after Bogart died, very fondly on him and had a lot of affection for him and all that stuff, Howard Hawks' opinion was that Humphrey Bogart fell in love with Lauren Bacall's character in that film, To Have and Have Not, and she had to keep playing it for the rest of her life. Or at least, what was I think that that's inaccurate. I think that that's not the case. But it was just an interesting, the idea of having to play a part because that's what somebody else liked, and that's what you gotta do. That's what people who lie about themselves online, they have to. It just destroys their soul, I guess, is the way of putting it. So that's the problem with being anonymous online. Now, at the same time, anonymous accounts allows you to say things that other people wouldn't be able to say. But then again, I'm not anonymous. I get away with quite a bit. Why? I think it's because of the way I say it, I suppose. I'm not some like rat. I'm not an Alex Jones type. I'm just, whatever people, whatever you want to describe it, you can go, you listen to this podcast, you can figure it out. You're smart people. But that means that also, if I reach out to people and say, hey, like, I'd like, this is why the meetups that I'm doing one with Vince from Masculine Geek, we're hanging out next week. And this whole happened because we were using our real names online. I would not have met, and when you say meet up, it's like, yeah, I didn't meet up with him down the street. I met up with him across an entire continent at Gettysburg 4 years ago. And that's only because he said he used his real name, and also I had a guy who could vouch for him, Aaron Clary over at CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com, reached out to him and just said, yeah, what, can you confirm that this guy's cool? And he said, yeah, he's cool. So then we hung out, and we've been friends ever since. So, but that wouldn't have been really necessarily possible. I don't know if I would have been willing to book a flight and stay at a house, an Airbnb house, with someone who was anonymous, where I didn't know what they looked like, didn't know their name. And there's some guys I know who don't use their real names, and that's fine. They have a public face. We see your face, we know what you look like. Others don't do that, and I think that that's, if that's not your intent, if you're not trying to meet real life people online, that's fine. It's a question of what are you trying to accomplish. What is the purpose of your account or profile online? Is it to socially interact with other people? If that's in a way where you get to know them and they get to know you are not going to be able to be anonymous with them. There's always going to be something holding them back instinctively. I call it the Doubting Thomas syndrome, where it's like, yeah, unless I see you and I see your face and I know I've met you, I don't. They're not gonna fully accept that you're real. They're always gonna be like, yeah, this. There's. It's a. It's almost something like the uncanny valley where something's just holding you back. As opposed to somebody that you've seen, you see their face, you know their name. You're like, yeah, I know who this is. I've seen enough of him to know who he is. And somebody who allows you to see the warts and all. It reminds me of a story of Oliver Cromwell. Was having his I think he was having his portrait painted, And he apparently got to look at it, because I think it takes a long time to do it. Doesn't you don't just do it in one sitting. He looked at it and he got upset because he had just some sort of like physical, his facial structure wasn't it, the painter was trying to make him look more physically, I'd say appealing or attractive than he actually was. And he said, "You need to show my warts and all, or I'm not giving you any money." I don't know if that's apocryphal, but it reportedly he threatened to not pay the painter if he didn't portray him as accurately as possible. He didn't want a idealistic version of him being depicted in this painting. You know, whatever people want to think about Cromwell, he did not want someone to like idealize him in that sense. I think that that's what people need. If you want people to believe you online, you got to just be willing to be like, yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, I said something stupid here. Yeah, you know, like you're not trying to create this whole like aura of I know everything and I'm perfect and I have it figured out and here's all this stuff and you know I've got the solution to your problems. Now, a little self-deprecating humor doesn't kill anybody. I think the other thing that for anonymous accounts, it's maybe people who are just really private. And I get that. I'm a private guy too. There's stuff that I don't talk about online, not because it's like anything secret. It's just like, yeah, it's just we there's things we like to keep to ourselves. You know, in some cases, we just don't want commentary on it. That these things mean a lot to us, or these people, or whatever it is. And it's not like we have to talk about everything that goes on in our lives. You know, there's stuff that's gone on in my life that would be great podcast discussions. One, it involves other people. And you know what? Some people don't want to have their lives, or maybe they're dead. That's partly some of the topics, but you almost want to respect their privacy, even if you don't name names. Even if it's just you're describing people, there's some stuff it's like, or maybe you're still just processing it. There's so many different reasons, but I think that in this world, protecting privacy is an important thing. I don't think that that's something to dismiss. This all goes back to if you want to get involved in this stuff online, and do you choose to be anonymous or not? And if so, here are the advantages and the disadvantages. Here are the trade-offs. And I think with life in general, that's one of the things that plagues people isn't that it's, how can I put it? I'm fine doing it. There's a lot of choices I've made where there were downsides, there were trade-offs, there were negative trade-offs. And I was okay with them because I knew in advance. Like I had a full grasp of the situation. I had a full grasp of, okay, moving here or doing this or switching careers or buying this vehicle as opposed to this one, here are the trade-offs. Like for example, buying an SUV. I bought an SUV knowing that it was going to have low gas mileage and there's high gas prices, and I had to be okay with that. As opposed to buying a smaller compact car that got better gas mileage. So even though because I like having an SUV, I like having being able to store stuff in it. I like if I want to go into, you know, off-roading, I can do that. If I need to, I can crash in the back of my SUV. It's an all-wheel drive, so I can access places without having to put chains on it. Like it has all these different trade-offs that was worth the low gas mileage at a time when the Biden inflation is kind of kicking us in the ass. And that's probably a lot of the anxieties that people have. Is they probably aren't just aware fully of like what are the consequences of my choices? Because in some cases you don't know if you don't know. Somebody has to explain it to you. Like let's say you're deciding to be a doctor and you don't realize, you know, or you're going into a field of study where it's not something that just happens overnight. It's going to take years and years and years and a lot of patience and perseverance. And really, it's difficult at the halfway point to wonder if you want to continue ahead because you've invested so much time, money, and energy, and just, you know, time equals life that you can't get back. Time is something that you can't ever recover. You can lose money and gain money, but time is something that you can't get back. And something that I've been reflecting on recently is this whole idea that, you know, the different times in your life, the different stages of your life, you only live them once. You're only young once. You're only in your 20s once. You're only young once. Like the stage that I'm at in life, it's a different one because I think it has a little bit longer, it takes up a longer section of my life. But there's these critical years in your life where you only have them once, and very important stuff can either happen or not happen. And when that moment passes, those opportunities pass, or just the opportunities, when they pass, they're very difficult, if not impossible, to recover. I think that that's probably all we're going to talk about for this episode. I think that that was a good a good analysis of what you can do online to just set best practices and just things to think about. You gotta think more. You gotta think like a tactician. You gotta think like a war gamer. You gotta war game this stuff out. Okay, if I do this and this happens, how do I respond? What is my action? So I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. We're probably going to call it the War Gaming episode. I think that's a good sound. I like the sound of that. So we'll put that in. So we'll just do some housekeeping. If you haven't read my books, they're online. They're on my website, tjmartinell.com, where you can find my podcast episodes. They're not on SoundCloud anymore. They're directly uploaded to my website so that I cannot get canceled by SoundCloud. And if you read my books, I would really appreciate a review online. It helps the rankings, helps boost sales and exposure, and I just know that other people are enjoying it. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Mountain Pass Podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room, my Fortress Americana, in the heart of Cascadia. Signing off.